morning, we're going to be in Acts chapter 27. As we share this passage this morning, I just want to share with you kind of what led me to this passage. It's one that I felt like I had even preached here before in the last couple of years, but I could find no record of it. But it was so plain to me what I needed to say that I knew I needed to go over it again. And so we are going to dive into chapter 27, starting at 13, and I'll read just a little bit, so bear with me on that. It says, "Now when a south wind blew gently, supposing that they had attained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind, called a nor'easter, struck down from the land, and when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along, running under the lee of a small island called Cauda. We managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. After hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then, fearing that they would run aground on Syrtis, they lowered the gear, and thus they were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison cargo. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope of our being saved was at last abandoned. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not have set sail from Crete and incurred injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told. But we must run aground on some island." When the 14th night had come, we were being driven across the Adriatic Sea. About midnight, the sailors suspected that they were nearing land. So they took a sounding and found 20 fathoms. A little farther, they took a sounding again and found 15 fathoms. Fearing that they might run on the rocks, they let down four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, they had lowered the ship's boat into the sea under the pretense of laying out anchors from the bow. Paul said to the centurion and the sailors, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." Then the sailors cut away, the soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. As day was about to dawn, Paul urged them to take some food, saying, "Today is the 14th day that you have continued in suspense without food and have taken nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take some food, for it will give you strength. Not a hair is to perish from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God. In the presence of all, he broke it and began to eat. Then all they that were encouraged and ate some of them themselves. We were in all 276 persons in the ship. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship by throwing out the wheat into the sea. Now when it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they noticed a bay at the beach on which they planned to, if possible, to run the ship ashore. So they cast off the anchors and left them in the sea, at the same time loosening the ropes that tied the rudder. Then hoisting the foresail of the wind, they made for the beach. But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow struck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broken up by the surf. The sailors planned to kill the prisoners, lest any should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for the land, and the rest on planks or pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought safely to land. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just lift to you this passage. Lord, first, I just want to lift up myself. I just pray you forgive me where I fall short. I pray that you empower me through your Spirit to just say what you have me to say. Lord, help us to understand what it is you have for us today from this passage. May you receive all glory and honor. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, Paul here in this passage, like it says, was headed to go before Caesar and to stand trial. And he had recommended that they not take off. But the owner of the ship decided they would go, and that's what happened. But as I look at this passage, I want us today to apply this to us. Because everyone in this room, either now or in the near future, or maybe you're just coming through it, but storms are coming in your life. Some come because of the choices I make. There are storms in my life that I know are man-made. I know there are storms that I face in my life that I deal with every day that are crushing storms. But I know that they are there because of the consequences of my choices. I know that they are there because of things I have chosen to do against God's will. Many of us face those types of storms every day. But what about those storms that you have nothing to do with? Paul is on this ship. It was not his choice to set sail. He knew the weather was coming. He wanted to stay there, but because of the choice of other people, he was dealing with a storm that he had no choice. He was a prisoner to the choice of somebody else's bad choices. You and I are prisoners at one point in our lives because of a bad choice of Adam and Eve. The sin that entered this world, the things that we have to deal with, the things that are in this life that are not good, are not of God, but God allows them because of the sin that entered into our world. Paul had to deal with the storm that he faced here for over 15 days. 15 days doesn't seem like a lot of storm. But if you look at what they went through, these were sailors and they were terrified, so much so that they didn't eat for 14 days. I would have to be really scared to not eat for 14 days. But that's what their choice was. They were sailors. They were out on the ocean all the time and they chose not to eat because they were so worried with everything that they're facing. You and I face things every day that sometimes we don't do the normal basic things of life because we're so worried about the storm we're in. We're all going to face those storms. But how you deal with your storm and how I deal with my storm is going to be probably a little different. Everybody deals with their storms differently. These men here, when the storm came, they literally took ropes and dropped them under the front of the boat. And as it come up under the boat, then they would tie them to hold the boat together. Not very comforting if I'm on that boat and you don't think, and this is like one of the first two or three days. In the first two or three days of the storm, it was so bad that they tried to hold their wooden ship together with ropes. I'm not a sailor, and I've never been out on even a wooden boat. But I can't in any way imagine how, if you think that boat has to be held together with ropes, that's going to do you any good. If that plank starts to fall off and that rope holds it on, that water's coming in. How in the world could you think that would work? But that was something that they did. They tied undergirdings. They would put ropes all along underneath the boat and tie them and hold it together. Whoever came up with that idea, I wonder if he was still alive at this point. But as silly as that sounds, Think about how many times you or I have tried to get through the storms in life in ways just as silly. When you try to get through those storms that you know you have no control over, you know that you're just one person, and it's a storm that you can't deal with. It's like tying a rope underneath a wooden boat. When I try to deal with the storms in my life, it's not going to work. Not only that, after the third or fourth day, they decide to throw the cargo overboard. Okay, your ship is being held together by ropes, and now you're going to start throwing things overboard so that your ship is lighter. They come up with every way they could to try to figure out a way to make it through that storm. Ways that you and I try to do every day in the storms that we go through. And like I said, they may be our fault, they may not be our fault, but they're storms that we try to make it through. But what I love about this is that God has a plan to get them through the storm. And the angel came to Paul in the middle of the night, and he said, hey, you've been promised that you're going to stand before Caesar, and God has given you everybody on this ship, and not a single hair of their head is going to perish. God has a plan to get you through whatever storm you're facing as well. I don't know what that is, but I know my God, and my God has a plan. When they thought the ropes were holding the ship together, it was my God. When they thought that throwing cargo overboard was holding the ship up, it was my God. But you know what? In the midst of that storm, an angel came to Paul. And Paul had to make a choice to listen to what God had to say in the middle of the storm. You know, I'm really good at listening to God before the storm comes, and I'm really good at thanking God after the storm is over. But how good are you and I at listening to God in the middle of the storm? That's the hardest part. But the angel told him exactly what was going to happen. Now, God doesn't always tell us exactly what's going to happen, but when you're facing the middle of that storm, I can promise you that my God is with you. The presence of God is with you. Now, not only is part of God's plan listening, but part of God's plan is obeying. There were sailors on that boat, and you know, if you can picture, they would have a little wooden boat that they would tow along behind, or that they would raise up and put on the ship. And then if they got to a point that the bigger ship couldn't get to the shore, then they would drop the little boat and they would row to shore in this little boat. Well, that's the kind of boat we're talking about. So these sailors decide they're going to escape the big ship and use this little boat. And they had a plan. The last lifeboat, if you want to call it, they were going to use that. And Paul said no. And get this. He said they were seeking to escape. And Paul tells the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. He's not talking to the people that were cutting the boat loose. Those were sailors. He told the soldiers, if we don't follow God's plan, and God's plan is everybody stays with the ship. If these men don't follow God's plan, as I've told them, then you won't be saved. Well, man, that doesn't seem fair. Nowhere in this book does it say it's supposed to be fair. If it was fair, Jesus wouldn't have to die for me. But we have to obey. Too many times you and I, we know God's there, we spoke to Him, and God tells us what to do, but you and I want to choose the lifeboat. We want to get out on our... You must have forgot that there's a lifeboat. So I can get on this lifeboat, God, and I can find my way out of this storm. You and I want to find our way out. You and I want to take the man-made lifeboat and go. But God says, you've got to obey me. Not just when you want to. When I tell you. So God's plan involves listening, it involves obeying, and then it involves, of course, faith. They hadn't ate for 14 days, so they finally eat. And what does Paul do? Throws the rest of it overboard. Now, if I've been on this ship for 14 days, I'm thinking, how much longer is this thing going to last? But probably the last thing in my mind is, well, I ate one meal, throw the rest overboard. How much faith does that take to throw the rest of the food overboard? I know God's going to take care of me. God's going to provide a way out so I don't have to hold on to things that are for me. Because my God's going to take care of me. God's plan involves listening, obeying, and faith. Well, that sounds pretty simple. Because we can all listen to God. Sometimes we can obey. Stepping out on faith, that's a little more difficult because that's doing something that doesn't make sense to a lot of people. I'm sure there were people on that ship saying, we just threw our last meal overboard. That probably didn't make sense to them. But stepping out on your faith in your God, that's what it means. When people think it doesn't make sense, and God has told you to do it, and you do it, that's faith. God's plan may not be what you expect. Think about that for just a moment. These men are on this boat, 15 days in a storm. They couldn't see stars. They couldn't see the sun. They are going through a terrible time, a terrible storm. But we've always been told that God's going to deliver us from the storm. Well, if you've been told that God will always deliver you from the storm, somebody lied to you. Because He never promised to calm the storm. He promised to calm you in the storm. Okay, Paul, we've done everything. We've obeyed. We've cut the lifeboat away. We've thrown the extra food overboard. Now what? Well, now the ship's going to wreck. Wait a minute. That's not the plan. The plan is to throw the food overboard so that we're lighter. That was our reason for throwing the food overboard, is so that the ship would not have to crash. Sometimes God needs my ship to crash. It doesn't make sense. It's not what I expect. I expect my God to come through and just bless everything. You know, after... We'll get to that in a minute. I got ahead of myself. It's never what we expect. The storm you go through, as long as you're trusting God, don't put God in a box, because He's going to deal with it in a way that maybe you're not expecting. And unfortunately, on top of that, after the ship crashes, it runs ashore. It doesn't even make it all the way to shore. It runs upon a reef and it crashes. Now, some people think that, oh, well, it's okay because it was light enough that they could see land. But it says the stern was being broken up by the surf at the time. So the waves and the wind are still so bad that the ship is still just being, even though the front of it is stuck, it's still being broken up. The surf is so bad that it's falling, it's still breaking the ship up. So it's not like the storm is over. Then the soldiers, they plan on killing everybody. But God provides for Paul again and the rest of those with him, because the centurion doesn't want Paul to die. He keeps him from killing anybody. So, well, that's good. So we're safe. Oh. Now you got to swim. man, if it's not bad enough that the ship is wrecked, but now you've got to swim to shore and I can't swim. So what does God do? He provides wooden planks from the ship for people that don't know how to swim. Man, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. When you and I were drowning in our sin, He used a couple planks of wood to save us. It's never what you expect. It's never what you want. But God will make a way. Too many times you and I as Christians want to tell everybody what God's way is. And His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. As you're going through your storm, and if you're going through it now, you understand, but you don't go through it alone. He's there in the midst of your storm. He's got a plan. You're going to have to listen to Him. But if you're not a Christian and you're out there and you're wondering, I don't have that relationship, I don't know how to listen to that plan, it's still the same thing. Understand that He has a plan for you, a plan for your salvation. He's not going to leave you. He's already provided a way out. You know, when this ship is blowing along for 15 days, the ropes are tied under it, the cargo's been pitched, the food's been pitched, they're all waiting, the lifeboat's gone. The reef was already there. That reef was put there long before they sailed. That cross was put there before any of us were ever born. As we look at this passage, when you go through your storms, know you're not alone. Know that He's there. Know He has a plan, but know you've got to listen and submit. But there's two other things I want you to understand. Because many times as Christians, we feel like the storm should be over. You can go into chapter 28. It says they finally made it to shore and the natives built a fire because it was cold and raining. It was still raining. It didn't stop because they got to shore. Don't expect your storm to stop just because God saved you. As Christians, we need to understand that we are going to live in a storm. Understand that just because God is saving you through the storm doesn't mean He's going to stop the storm. Because you need to still rely on Him. So many people think when you accept Christ, everything's going to be perfect. No. The storms still come. But I've got a promise of the last thing. Of all these people on the ship, some don't eat for 14 days. They are so nervous going through this storm. They're trying everything they can possibly try. Peace can only be found in the middle of the storm, with the presence of my God. Getting out of the storm doesn't give you peace. So many times we think, man, if I can just weather this storm, I'll be all right and everything will be peaceful. No, it won't. The only way you'll ever attain peace after the storm is be able to attain peace in the storm. And the only way to attain peace in the storm is with a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only way you will ever attain peace. is by a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are storms still going to come? Yeah. But the planks have already been laid. What needs to happen for you and I to have peace has already been taken care of. It's nothing you and I can do. Peace is given to us by God. So this morning as we close, I don't know where you're at, whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ or whether you don't, but I know there are storms in your life. But God has a plan to get you through them. But that plan starts with a relationship with Him. Understanding that Jesus Christ came to earth to die on a cross for your sins, for my sins. He died and was buried, and 3 days later He rose again. And that's the only way you're ever going to get peace, is to accept that, to understand that, to receive that. Listen, obey, and have faith. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I just thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, I pray for those that are going through those storms right now. Lord, I pray that You would just make Your presence so known. Lord, wrap Your arms around them. Love them. Give them peace. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to present Your Word. Speak to us now at this time. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.